The destructive practices to our Constitution are moving forward because of the moderation of our modern conservatives and their media outlets. Among modern conservatives, they are not the opposite of liberals. Today's conservatism is really only a reaction to a political philosophy, and a very weak one at that. In essence, friends, the modern-day conservatives are fraternizing with the enemy of your country.
Can a man who essentially agrees with President Obama on all the key issues realistically become the Republican nominee for president?
For example, why do the modern conservatives always capitulate or surrender to the emotions of the socialists when it comes to the law?
Mitt Romney believes in all these things, but here's the crusher. So does President Obama. There's not a dime's worth of difference between them.
Did they forget that hundreds of thousands of men and women died to ratify the Constitution that they so easily forfeit at every constitutional challenge? And that's even if the Constitution is brought up, which in most cases it's not. Why are they ashamed of the moral absolutes that they claim to stand for? The deception is modern conservatives don't really take an opposite view from liberals, only a slightly slower path in the same direction and same destination as liberals. And at the end of the day, they come to the same conclusion and America loses.
What will happen if we are left with a choice among the major party candidates of Mitt Romney and Barack Obama? I have argued, Jake, that they are closer to each other than either of them is to Ron Paul or any of the founding fathers.
Today's conservatives are simply yesterday's liberals. If we want our rights restored, then we'd better start electing God-fearing constitutionalists who are not willing to go along to get along. Conservative defines in Webster's 1828 as preservative, having power to preserve in a safe or entire state or from loss, waste, or injury. Friends, salt preserves and it stops putrefaction. Who said that we were to be the salt of the earth? Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." The conservatives of today have lost their savor and have allowed the Constitution to be trampled under the foot of government corruption. And speaking of corruption in our government, why have the American people thrown off the option of impeachment? Corrupt politicians are not allotted the duration of their term to destroy the Constitution, while the American people are taught by the modern conservatives to sit back and allow it to take place. Republics have been destroyed for the lack of impeachment, and it is the duty of every American in this country to throw off tyranny in our government. Thomas Jefferson rightly stated, "The two enemies of the people are criminals and government." So let us tie the second down with the chains of the Constitution so the second will not become the legalized version of the first. Have you ever taken the time to notice in America that the modern-day conservatives always complain about the left while they debate away the pith and marrow of who we are as a people? And in the end, the left wins the day only to show the hypocrisy of the modern-day conservative? America? There wouldn't be a left if the right was doing the right thing at all times. Let me turn the lights on here for you for a minute. We have one Constitution, not two. The two-party system gives the impression to the American people that the left can do what they want to do when they are in power, and the right can do what they want to do when they are in power. Well, let me set the record straight. They're both wrong. The Constitution is the Constitution. The law is the law. Truth is truth, and truth is not changed by our opinions. Truth changes our opinions to fit our truths. It is okay, friends, to have different opinions as long as we are rooted in the same principles. And it's our principles that the modern-day conservative is surrendering through debating our Constitution away with their own opinions. How many times have you seen the modern conservatives during one of their debates with the left, as they call it, interject the law or the Constitution? Thank God people are waking up to this truth. A thing is either true or false of itself, and it is neither made true or false by our views or opinions. Besides, opinions have influence on our opinions, and we can see what the modern-day conservatives have done with the opinions of both sides. they have forsaken principle.
Did you know that the founder state constitutions were an average of only 5 pages nationwide? Did you also know that they focused more on the character of those placed in office more than the laws themselves? For example, Delaware constitutional requirements for men in office: I do profess faith in God, the Father, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, and in the Holy Ghost, blessed forevermore. How about Pennsylvania Constitution? I do believe in one God, the creator and governor of the universe, the rewarder of the good and the punisher of the wicked. And then over to North Carolina's Constitution: no person who shall deny the being of God, or the truth of the Christian religion, or the divine authority, whether of the Old or New Testaments, or who shall hold religious principles incompatible with the freedom and safety of the state, shall be capable of holding any office or place of trust or profit in the civil department within this state.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently,
"Recently,
we shouldn't rock the boat." Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Boat rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And, of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. Hey, just wanted to give you a real quick heads up, just so you all know that this whole voter system, this voting system that they have set up, it's completely fraudulent. It is just there, friends, to give you the impression that you're actually voting for the people that have been delivered up to you. That's a fact. Again, consider the last presidential cycle. There was over 1,200 other presidential contenders to choose from, but you were only given two. Okay, so that's just how deceived the American people had become, number one. Number two is this. Steve Bannon out there, Zionist Steve Bannon, he's the guy that hosts The War Room. He is out there telling the American people that Donald Trump will be the third president. I mean, he will serve a third term, so you may as well accommodate yourself with that, is exactly what he said. And again, it just shows you that the system is set up, as Roosevelt rightly said back in the 30s, that there's nothing that happens in politics that's not first planned. How is it that they're forecasting all of this, friends, when the people haven't voted? We caught Barack Obama doing that during his second term when he was talking to a diplomat from Russia. He said he would do that during the second term. The people didn't vote him in during that particular time. Again, so folks, this whole system of you having an option to vote people in and out, it only is workable to a certain degree, but on a national level, folks, you do need to understand that it is controlled, along as well as in the state level in many cases as well, like for the attorney general, for the governor, so on and so forth. They're installed individuals. And I'm bringing that up because I think people need to understand what Stalin said. And Lenin said the same thing. He said, it doesn't matter who does the voting, it matters who does the counting. And it's really selling to the American people, or people worldwide, because this is nothing new under the sun. But selling to the people their results. In other words, you know, regardless of everybody voted that direction or not, they're going to sell to you, and they're going to try to deceive you into believing that it was actually you that voted, or somebody that they don't want you to like. And this is one of those tactics that Saul Alinsky created long ago. He was a minion of Satan. He's with him in hell now, where he belongs. Read Luke 16 when you get a moment, because he's eating the fruit of his own ways. But he said, cause the majority of the people to believe that they are the minority, and bolster the efforts of the minority, again, to deceive the majority to believe that they're the minority rather than the other way around. So in other words, the only way that they're doing what they're doing today is by deceiving the people into believing an untruth. And I'm often humored by it when I see people say, oh, you know, they're there because the people keep voting them in. And I don't know how many times I've showed it on this show concerning heritageusa.org, concerning voter fraud. All of the individuals that have been busted or have been indicted for voter fraud themselves, where the mainstream media is trying to play it down and demonize anybody else or anybody that's telling you the truth of the matter. In other words, it's happening, but the mainstream media says it's not happening. But again, what you need to get here, friends, is people aren't voting these bad guys in. They're installed. And then it's the lying mainstream media's job to do is to sell to you that it's the people that voted them in. And what they do is they blame your political opposition. And again, what they have defined out as being something called the left, which does not constitutionally exist. So one of the things that I want to do today is explain some things, because I think people need to understand the fundamental foundations of who we are. And I want to break it up into two parts today. I want to talk about, first of all, who we are and where we came from, because when I was doing a college out in North Carolina, I had 77 professors in front of me, and I asked them the question, what is our founding, you know, what form of government has been given unto us? And every single one, all 77 of them, just like a bunch of grown-up kids who never mentally grew up, that are indoctrinated, that are now indoctrinating children, that are going in debt to pay them to be indoctrinated, they laughed it off like a bunch of schoolboys and girls hanging out as if it didn't matter at all when they gave me the answer. And I'll explain that to you in just a moment here. I want to bring you over to something before we kick off this show, because again, there's two parts to this show. We're going to talk now is imperfection now the standard? I'll explain that, the second part of the show. But I want to go back to this, because if you remember rightly, Jeremiah the prophet was sent forward in Jeremiah 1, and he was sent to what? He was sent to go to the king's gates, and he was sent to go to the Pharisees, the church's gates, and to confront them for their offenses and transgressions before a just and a holy God. You all remember this, right? And do you also remember that the Lord said to him in Jeremiah 1, verse 10, he said, "See, I have set this day over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, and then to build and to plant." So what I'm going to do is I'm going to spend some time building and planting concerning growing people up in the knowledge of who they are today on two different levels, both the natural and then the spiritual. Now, before we do that, I want you to remember my favorite museum in the whole world, friends, is my world, I should say, is in Yorktown, Virginia. And we've been there several times. And folks, when I go there, I literally read every word on those boards concerning the education that our forefathers intended to give to their posterity, which is me and you. Well, one of the things that I noticed about the father of our Constitution, James Madison, he was the one that rightly stated this. And this is what it says at the Yorktown Museum in Yorktown, Virginia. That's where they broke the back of the British, right? He said in 1788, "Justice is the end of government. Justice is the end of government." Folks, this is what America lacks, as you all the well know. It ever has been and ever will be pursued until it is obtained. So what was their end aim? Their end aim was to establish the justice that was premised on common law so that we would be the light of the world. And that's exactly what they established during the duration of their lives. All the way up until recent history, friends, much of that has completely been erased. We went from being the light of the nation, read Isaiah 51 verse 4, Isaiah 26 verse 9, and also consider King David's life. But folks, we went from being the light of the world to what we are today. We become a laughing stock to the world. We become a byword. We become a proverb to the nations. And yet the nations are still looking to the American people to be the light that their forefathers established by the hand and the grace of God. And it's for us to remain. It's for us to reestablish what it was, to reform what it was that our forefathers bestowed upon us in the face of all opposition. In the face of all opposition, friends, just like Nehemiah, when they were building the wall, they were under attack, but they were building the wall. They were under attack, but they were building the wall. And that's what Christians are called to do, Isaiah 58, verse 12. So we're going to be back in just a minute. We're going to kick this off, and I'm going to take you to the foundations first, and then I'm going to talk about the standard in a spiritual sense. And folks, These are little golden nuggets that you're not going to want to miss. I love this train of thought. We'll be talking about them in just a moment. Sons of Liberty
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Andrew Young, former mayor of Atlanta, said, "You don't want to think of yourself as a martyr, but if you worship in a religion, Christianity, where the symbol of that religion is a cross, you are reminded every day of your lives that the cross is not something that you just hang on the wall. It's something that comes out as a result of confrontation with evil, and that when you face that confrontation with evil, you're likely to face the possibility with a physical death. But if you don't face that confrontation with evil, you inevitably face a spiritual death."
Hi, this is Brian Fisher. I'm the host of the Focal Point Radio program on the American Family Radio Talk Network. And Bradley, I just want to thank you for inviting me to be a guest on your program. I want to thank you for being a guest on my program. You're fighting a good fight. You're fighting for liberty and for truth. Keep it up, my friend, and God bless you.
BBSRadio.com.
Governments, like clocks, go from the motion men give them. Wherefore, governments rather depend upon men than men upon government. Let men be good, and the government cannot be bad. But if men be bad, the government will never be good. William Penn. A republic versus a democracy? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We are a constitutional republic. We are not a democracy. Thomas Jefferson's letter to the Danbury Baptist Association, January 1, 1802. "The First Amendment has erected a wall of separation between church and state and barring the government from what it's attempting to do today." To prove that point, President Thomas Jefferson was president of the United States of America, as well as public schools in Washington, D.C. The two books that he made mandatory were Watts' Hymnals and the Bible. For anybody that says to themselves, you know what, that is fantastic that Donald Trump is going to be in office, I hope you're paying attention as to what's going on right now, friends, because there's a lot of whistleblowers that are coming out right now exposing to the American people what, in fact, this administration is responsible for doing. Okay, I wanted to show you this really quick, because when you look at the Second Amendment of the Bill of Rights, what does it say? The Bill of Rights is consists of the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, which was ratified in 1791. The 22nd Amendment was ratified in 1951 and addresses presidential terms, okay? And what it provides for is that a person cannot be elected to the office of a president more than two times. So, folks, they're going to try to seal the deal with this guy, and I'm just giving you, folks, the information that's needed, okay? I'm just laying this to your candor. I've said it before, friends. I'm just here to serve your values. I'm not here to form your opinion, though I have one, believe me, and it's always going to fall to what? The Word of God, into the U.S. Constitution, not to the whims of men, not to cunning men, not to insidious men. Read Ephesians 4:14 when you get a moment. So I just want you to know that if you're advocating for Trump to be in there the third time, you're advocating for more lawlessness, and that's what this individual has been representing since day one. And I know that he sold himself as the good guy to you, friends, but again, judge him by his fruit. Now I want to move on, and I want to get over to this as a positive because I want to build rather than tear down today, although they're both equally important. When you look at Harry Truman, okay, love him or hate him, he blurted the truth out in his confusion, okay? Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. But he's the one that said the fundamental basis of this nation's laws was given to Moses on the Mount. He's talking about Exodus 20 and also Deuteronomy 5. The fundamental basis of our Bill of Rights, they come from the Lord, comes from the teachings we get from Exodus and St. Matthew, from Isaiah and St. Paul. He goes on, I don't think that we emphasize that enough these days, okay? Then he goes on and finishes that sentence. If we don't have a proper fundamental moral background, we will finally end up with a totalitarian government which does not believe in the rights for anybody except the state. And that's where it's at today. So once we, folks, show disregard for who we are and where we came from, the first thing that we're going to see is the enemy, the great deluder, the lawless one, advocate through his minions lawlessness, and they are going to work at his law to etch it away, to tear it down, so the lawless one can have his way with the law abiders. That's in fact what is happening today in America. Samuel Adams warned if the people allowed this, this is what was going to happen. He was a son of liberty. He said a general dissolution of the principles and manners will more surely overthrow the liberties of America than the whole force of the common enemy. And that's what exactly the whole purpose of the Mockingbird Media. To overthrow what? They want to establish immorality. And the process of the people allowing that, that is an overthrow of your liberties. And this, he said, is the whole force of the common enemy. They're using the mainstream media and the corrupt in office to do just that. And what are they at war with? They're at war with the Lord. And yet again, you have 86% of the people in this country that profess to be what it is that they are not. Now, I posted something this morning, and you can go ahead and tell me what your thoughts are. I'm going to lay a question to you, and then I'm going to put a question mark, and then I'm going to put an exclamation to my point. Is everyone sick and tired of the hypocrisy of the said representatives who don't uphold their sworn oaths to the people? I think it's safe to say that a majority of the American people, hands down, would say absolutely we're tired of it, okay? But now look at it this way. You have 86% of the people in this country that profess to be Christian. So let me put the question and the exclamation back to the American people now. Because for the most part, the first question is an absolutely. We're tired of their hypocrisy. We're tired of their corruptions. Well, how much more the lost who look to the church to do the same as unto the Lord? And what am I saying there? How much more those that don't know the Christ, that are looking for the Christ, coming from the Christians who are not keeping their end of the bargain when it comes to their services unto the Lord and is unto them? So the question that's laid to your candor is, what's the difference? There isn't. They're both two groups of what? Hypocrites. And if you go back to Mark 8:15, it's exactly what the Lord told us to beware of. So we see that problem, but we want to be a part of the answer. Now let me go back and make this point. When I look at Samuel Adams, he said a general dissolution of the principles, okay? When we think about the general dissolution of the principles, keep in mind, we used to, in this country, up into the 60s, used to have, I'm told, okay, that we used to have, we were the same principles because we were embedded. We had the same sort of education. We could have different opinions, and our opinions were always different from what? Not morality, but different what? Maybe interpretations, the way it's said, the way it's done, concerning the principles. The problem that we're having in America today is they're indoctrinating. They're sowing seeds into the younger generation illegally through a violation of the 10th Amendment of the Bill of Rights. And what are they doing? Well, we used to be solidified in the same principles. Well, no longer is that the case. They're indoctrinating. So at the founding era, we could have different opinions because we were rooted in the same principles. That's no longer the case. And that is a reflection of the American people. Now, I just got done telling you during the first segment that I was preaching to a bunch of, professors, indoctrinated, dummied down professors that are indebting the younger generation as their said professors, because they were indoctrinated. What are they going to do? They're going to relay and parrot the same indoctrination scheme that they themselves have received. Well, I'm saying that to say this. I had the opportunity to talk to them and preach to them, and I did just that. There just happened to be 77 of them in the room. Matter of fact, I got up on social media platforms right now, sonsoflibertymedia.com, sonsoflibertyradio.com, beforeitsnews.com, on the left side of the page, where I was actually taking the time to preach to these people, if you want to call them that. They were dummied down. They were indoctrinated. I simply asked the question to all of these said professors in North Carolina, 77 of them. I don't know why I remember that, but I do. I think it was just because of the turnout, the way that they were responding, the way that they were acting. It was almost kind of, I don't want to say it shocked me, but I was a little surprised as to how immature each and every one of them was. So this is what I asked them. I asked them the question, what form of government has been given to the American people? Are we a democracy or are we a republic? That's all I asked them. These are professors in North Carolina. 77 of them at a college. When I asked them the question, what form of government has been given unto us? Every single one of those said professors, they started laughing, so on and so forth. When I said that, guys, when they responded with, we're a democracy, I said, guys, we're not a democracy. I said, if we're a democracy, this is how we would say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of whatever the people want. This is how the mainstream media sells it to you, people, and you put up with it. And to the democracy for which it falls, that's the purpose of a democracy. One nation under a dictatorship, right, with bondage and injustice for whosoever believed that we were a democracy. I said, is that what we are? Because I go on and made the point concerning Fisher Ames, who was the architect of the First Amendment, along with none other than George Washington, who said a democracy is a volcano which conceals the fiery materials of its own destruction. Every president continuously inundates the American people with the fact that we're a democracy. No, we are not. Fisher Ames goes on, these will produce an eruption and carry desolation in their way. Is that what's happening today? Yep. And you know how it's done? The mainstream media will go pick out some lawless group to use as a political battering ram. Let's just use the sodomite agenda, the homosexual agenda. We'll go pick them up. Our laws all call for their condemnation because it's not sin, but an abomination. Leviticus 18:22, in every state, it's felonious activity. Our laws in every state in America condemn sodomy, but what they do is they go pick out the lawless, they put up a couple, they put them in the position of being the victim, when in fact, friends, only to find out after the fact, 20 years later, 30 years later, they're not the victims, they're actually the perpetrators of the crime, and that is why the Lord called it an abomination in the first place. So what happened? Men left the Lord, they took the word of a bunch of liars in the mainstream media. They said, oh, you know what? These guys are the victims, only to find out 20 years later that they were making a prey out of their children. This is why we don't depart from the Lord. The Lord warns us not to do that. Psalm 19:11. Fisher Ames goes back to a democracy and he said, the known propensity of a democracy is licentiousness. And it's important that you understand the Semitics here, friends. And I'm going to come back to that because licentious means excessive license. You can do whatever you want. But Fisher Ames said, which the ambitious call and the ignorant believe to be liberty, when in fact that's not what it is at all. We'll be right back. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
So, you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and have been thinking, there are so many others who need to hear this message as well, but you just don't know how to reach them. Well then, this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. It's time to schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And together, we can make a difference in our world today.
A test of a Christian character is what he does after he comes to the blockade in the road, and what his attitude is after everything has left him except Jesus. You will never know down here that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have left. You will never be able to tell the world for sure what he will do in a crisis unless you learn to live in crisis. Lester Roloff. President Franklin Pierce was right when he stated that the storm of frenzy and faction must inevitably dash itself in vain against the unshaken rock of the Constitution. How right he is. President James Knox Polk said, "One great object of the Constitution in conferring upon the President a qualified negative upon the legislation of Congress was to protect minorities from injustice and oppression by majorities."
Wisconsin Christian News is a nationally distributed, real printed newspaper that takes on the tough issues of our day, and we don't waste time with nonsense. We have some of the best red pill writers in the country, including Bradley Dean, and we tell you the truth you need to know. It's unlike anything you've seen before. Email us to get your free sample copy. Go to WisconsinChristianNews.com. Also, watch our TV program every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Central at WCNTV.net.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you're already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
This is Karen from Harrison, Arkansas. My husband James and I are proud supporters of the Sons of Liberty radio program. We love the way Brad delivers God's word and how he brings in the Constitution to his ministry. We pray that your ministry will continue to grow and reach more people in the future. May God bless both of you.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Gosh, guys, I'm sorry about that. You want to call in, 281-845-4704. Again, that number's 281-845-4704. I see that phone call up there. Just give me a moment, please. I was just highlighting the fact that I was in North Carolina talking to a bunch of professors, 77 of them, and I just asked them basic elementary questions concerning who we are as a people, what form of government that's been given unto us. And all 77 of them, like a bunch of ignorant kids, literally, friends, they did it. I didn't. They did it all by themselves. I'm just basically reflecting what I seen there, friends, concerning their ignorance and their stupidities. They acted like a bunch of kids when they said it was a democracy. And I equate that to the majority of the people, because I can go down the street and talk to someone at the gas station and I can guarantee you most of them are going to say that we're a democracy. No, we're not. That's how they've been getting away with their unconstitutional, immoral agendas, because the American people believe it. And yet every president up until Ronald Reagan, actually acknowledged that we were a constitutional republic, Article 4. Every president since has continuously lied and deceived the American people into believing that we're a democracy. Donald Trump said we're a purified democracy. That is about as ignorant as it gets. It truly is. So if he wants someone to actually acknowledge that he's doing it better than anybody else, he is. And it's not the way that he thinks it is. It's not a positive, it's a negative. Because that's sheer stupidity. And yet the people of this country are allowing their said representatives to go on with this unconstitutional vernacular, and yet they wonder why their country's acting like a democracy, because you're believing the lies, right? I just told you that Fisher Ames, the architect of the First Amendment, along with George Washington, he said the known propensity of a democracy is licentiousness. Do whatever you want to do. The word means excessive license, and I said it's important to understand the semantics here. Because there's a difference, friends, between licentiousness and liberty. He calls those that believe licentious to be liberty. He said these are ambitious people, and they are ignorant people to believe that it is liberty when it acts in such a fashion. And that's exactly what the American people have become. Again, my point here is to build up. James Madison said, the father of the Constitution said of democracy, he said, democracy is the most vile form of government. The second president of the United States of America said, remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts itself, and murders itself by design. So what's the difference? Well, as a constitutional republic, we're ruled by law, not by unconstitutional parties. Thomas Jefferson said of this concerning the topic of democracies. He said, a democracy is nothing more than mob rule. This is where the media comes in, like I said earlier, and convinces the majority of the people that they're the majority, and they're telling you this is what we're going to do because the majority of the people want it that way. No, it doesn't matter if 99.9% of the country out there decides that they want something that violates the right giver, the lawgiver. Because as long as I stand in that 0.9% on the Lord's side, on the side of being a constitutional republic, all the rest of it, the 99.9% of the people, friends, are completely wrong. And it's not going to be law because we're not a democracy. Again, we're ruled by law as a republic. And our laws condemn much of what they want to advocate for, but the way they sell it to the people is the fact that we're a democracy. As Thomas Jefferson just said, a democracy is nothing more than mob rule, where 51% of the people may take away the rights of the other 49. Again, read Article 4, Section 4. What does it say? The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. Listen carefully. And shall protect each of them against invasion, right? And application of legislature or of the executive when the legislator cannot be convened or legislators cannot be convened against what? Domestic violence. Isn't that crazy? And I'm going to end this portion with this. John Adams again said this. And if people would get this in their hearts and their minds, and yes, in that order, I'll tell you what, we begin to act on who we are rather than acting on the behalf of those that mean to create us to be what we are not. I'll tell you what, we're going to take some ground and we're going to set the record straight. It was John Adams again, the Colossus of Independence, that bad boy prophet alone who was not there during the time of this founding era. We would not be here today. We would not be here today. If it wasn't for that guy, just so you know, okay? And that applies to each and every one of them, as a matter of fact. There's nothing I dread so much as a division of the Republic into two great parties, each arranged under its leader, just like you see today in America. This was the warning, unheeded, okay? Arranged under its leader in converting measures in opposition to each other. This, in my humble apprehension, is to be dreaded as the greatest political evil under the Constitution. And yet the majority of the people in this country believe somehow or another that we're a democracy. That's why you're being destroyed. Okay? The Bible is the rock upon which our republic rests, said Andrew Jackson. Thomas Jefferson said the Bible is the cornerstone for American liberty. Alexander Hamilton said, for my own part, I sincerely esteem it the Constitution, a system with which out the finger of God never could have been suggested and agreed upon by such a diversity. Remember, we're still rooted in the same principles when they use those words, by such a diversity of interests. Americans, We got to understand what's being played out right now is not at all who we are. I'm going to go ahead and take John. John, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. Thank you for hanging out for a moment, my friend. What say you?
Thank you, Bradley, for taking my call. I have an honest question as far as the you know, democracy is two wolves and a sheep deciding on what's for dinner.
Yeah, Ben Franklin.
But can it be the other way where the 33.4% are actually controlling the two-thirds? I see where, you know, in Europe, their so-called democracies, their small minorities actually control all the other people. So I'm unsure as to which way it goes as far as the 77 guys that you talked about, and as far as what they understand. I don't know anymore.
Okay, hang on.
What they've done with negating our Constitution, they're all playing the game, right?
Oh, they are. There's no question about it. But again, and that's come through the indoctrination centers, what they call the education systems of today, and they've allowed corruption to basically raise up the next generation, and we're seeing the fruit of that. But let me go back to something here. If you remember right, it was also Thomas Jefferson that said during the founding era of this country, he was asked to make distinction between the French government and the American government. And he said the distinction was the difference between America and France during that particular time, he said, is the difference between heaven and hell. So there's those that embody the law, per se, those that embody Christianity.
Right, I understand
and,
that.
Okay,
but what,
okay.
But my question is this. Is now we have a very small minority of 4, 5, 10, 20,000 people controlling everybody. So have they used these things as a ploy to control us all, why we all think that we're in a republic, or the other people that think we're a democracy? It's all a confusionary tactic, I believe.
Yeah, it is. It goes back to the divide and conquer system. And listen, it's one of those things, John, where even you look at people where you can talk to them and explain to them there's no difference between the right and the left. It's a uniparty system, and it's created to divide and conquer, as we all well know on this show.
Our forefathers knew that.
Yeah, absolutely they knew that. And that's why they warned against what we've taken on, because that's what they threw off during that particular time, was a tyrant across the pond that would not be ruled by God. He was a despot. And he acted out as if he was a demigod. He was arbitrarily responding to the issues the way that he saw fit when he looked to himself rather than the Lord that he promised to look to by discovering and applying his law. So it's the same thing that's going on here. But the point that I wanted to make is if there's a political language, which there is, that's been created to make lies sound truthful, that we've been warned of over and over and over and over again, and we still don't take heed to it, and we keep turning the television on, and we keep listening to the lies of the right and the left, and the left and the right, and the right and the left. That's how they survive. That board doesn't even exist, John.
Statesmen and politicians.
Exactly.
We used to have statesmen and representatives. Now we have politicians. It's all
exactly
politics. They're all on TV.
Exactly.
I wonder what they're doing, because they're always on these shows.
Yep.
Not that I watch those shows.
Yep. Well, you know what they're feeling. They're feeling the same nonsense they've been feeling for the last, 60 years in this country, and the people are not taking heed to who we actually are. And that's what they need to start doing, so they can realize how much they're being lied to by these politicians. And I think it was a great point that you just made as well, John, when you said they used to be statesmen. They used to be representatives of the law. They actually used to uphold the laws that they...
Within 3 months, they went home.
That's right. And it was very limited. Exactly. That's another topic that we should cover. But I think, and more importantly, that the American people need to understand that they're being played on a board that doesn't constitutionally exist, and they're being played by a bunch of cunning deceivers, and they're laughing at the American people for buying the game board that doesn't constitutionally exist. That's the problem.
Well, if they watch basketball, politics, and WWE wrestling, they're not going to get it.
Exactly.
Some of them will. It has to hit them in the face to be able to understand what's happening. And like you do every day, you try to get people to realize these things. And it's a long process, but life isn't a destination. It's a journey.
Amen. Amen. Hey, by the way, John, are you going to tell us where you're from today? Not going to do that, huh? What do you live right?
As far south as you can get.
Okay, cool. Awesome. I totally appreciate Mr. Floridian. Totally appreciate the phone call. And you know what? I appreciate when people can add to the conversation, and John just did it. 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. I'm going to come back on the other side, and I'm going to ask you the question. Since when is a lack of being perfect now become the standard? We'll be right back. This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the Internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBSRadio.com.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic, without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Nations around the world, including the U.S., are being purposely destroyed from within by their own governments. Are you tired of the lies of the politicians and communists? Wisconsin Christian News is a national newspaper that tells it like it is. We don't have time for nonsense. We publish the truth, whether it's popular or not. WisconsinChristianNews.com. Subscribe today, print or online. WisconsinChristianNews.com.
This is Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. We are welcoming Bradley Dean to the Brighteon radio platform because Bradley Dean is on the front lines, speaking truth to power, defending your liberties and your constitutional rights. Bradley's voice is critical for our world in this dangerous era when tyrants and perverts are trying to steal away our children, our culture, and our future. It's people like Bradley Dean who are standing against the tyranny and holding the ground for Christians and patriots. Catch his show at BrighteonRadio.com.
President Franklin Roosevelt said, "We cannot read the history of our rise and development as a nation without reckoning with the place the Bible has occupied in shaping the advances of our republic."
BBSRadio.com.
Okay, final segment. I'm sticking to what we originally promised, friends. I'm doing it. I'm doing it quickly, but I am doing it. 281-845-4704. If you got any questions or comments, please stick to the topic. That last call from Florida, John, that was fantastic. I love when people add too. It's important because we're planting right now. 281-845-4704. So this is the title of the show. Are you perfect? Because 99 out of 100 people would say that they are not, yet who is their standard? And as I just asked you during the second segment, how many people are tired of politicians that don't actually do what they promise that they do concerning their oaths? Numbers 30 verse 2, Ecclesiastes 5, 4, Deuteronomy 23, 23. Read them. It all talks about how they are to keep their oaths. Because if you remember right, when our politicians swear to uphold the Constitution with their hand on the Bible, they say, "So help me God." And they said against all enemies. So what do you think of Christians that profess to be what they're not? You know, somehow or another, the American people have taken on the mindset that it's okay to be imperfect
But yet the law is perfect. The standard of right and wrong in this country is perfect. And why is that? Because at the foundation of this country, our forefathers taught us that they were sick of man. They were sick of man saying that he was going to do one thing and then doing the opposite. Just like the king that they threw off. Remember, they were the ones that came up with resistance to those tyrants is obedience to God. And they were exactly right. Romans 12:21, which proceeds that of Romans 13 in context. And 1 Peter 2:14 as well. Read it when you get a moment. Also check out Daniel 3 as I think about it, friends. This is insanity. No. Folks, we don't shoot for the floor. We shoot for the standard. Okay. 2 Corinthians, listen to this, 10:12 says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number of those, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, that boast of themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, they're not wise." In other words, what we do is we look at a fallen man and we look at the best that fallen man has, and then we look to them and say, you know what? That's my standard. But that's not what our forefathers taught us. Now, let me explain this, and I'll explain so you'll perfectly understand this. It's simple to understand. But I'm sure that you've experienced this. You've observed this 1,000 times in your life. You've seen other people measure themselves by themselves. And again, the scripture tells us that's not wise to do that. Scripture warns against the folly of comparing oneself to others using worldly standards, i.e. fallen men, okay? Your favorite politician, your favorite preacher. I've said it 1,000 times on church every Sunday. You do not follow man, you follow the Christ. And if I, Bradley Dean, fail to uphold the word of Christ as the standard, then you leave and go find someone that will as a preacher, okay? Because we preach Christ crucified and him alone. Because he is the standard. So what we're doing here, friends, is we're looking at verses like this, 2 Corinthians 10:12, saying we're not to judge ourselves by comparing one another to ourselves using worldly standards. Because again, that's not what our forefathers did. When you look at the verse that explains that this practice, again, is without understanding, the one that I just made reference to, because those who measure themselves by themselves lack a wise and a proper standard of judgment. And remember, we're all appointed to judgment. But instead, the focus should be on God's standard for spiritual growth in Christ and the approval that comes from him and him alone, rather than self-condemnation or the validation of others. Nope. When you look at Acts 17:31, what does it say? Listen carefully, because he has appointed a day, the Lord has, in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, Jesus Christ, whom he has ordained. But listen, wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men, in that hath he raised him from the dead. That's something that only the Holy Ghost can do through his children that are appointed to be his children. Now, if I were to go out today and ask people the question, are you perfect? I love this. I'd be willing to say that 99 times out of 100, they would answer with, no, I'm not perfect. And of course, the one axiom that all Americans will vote for is nobody's perfect. Isn't that interesting? They're okay with that. Now, scripture tells us, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect, Matthew 5:48. And in 2 Corinthians 7:1, it says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit. In other words, let us cleanse ourselves from worldly standards. Let us cleanse ourselves from the sins that so easily beset us. Let us cleanse ourselves from keeping our eyes fixed on man and get them upon Christ. Because it says that we perfect holiness in the fear of God. That's the New Testament, folks. Yet when people respond with nobody's perfect, that doesn't seem to bother many people. You have to ask the question why it's okay that now shooting for the floor doesn't offend anybody. As if to suggest that now man has become the standard and not Christ. However, I can tell you what does bother people. It's when I tell them that scripture says, be ye holy as I am holy. People are immediately offended. Why? I mean, the only argument against the Bible is an unholy lifestyle. And it's the Holy One of Israel that's saying, be holy as I am holy. And how do you do that? You put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And understanding that all things all old have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That shouldn't offend anybody that's a Christian. You should love that, because you hunger to rise to the level of expectation, right? Read 1 Peter 1:16. For Christians, Christ is the standard, and he should be our end aim. Hebrews 12:2. Because we're again told to be clothed with him who is our righteousness, Romans 13:14, not fallen man and his carnal standards. We look to Christ, not to them around us, as to what the standard is to be. Now, though there's not one person in 100 who would claim to be perfect, there's not one of those people who understands the seriousness, listen to me carefully, there's not one of those people who understands the seriousness of not being perfect, because the standard by which we will be judged ultimately is not a curve, but it will be the standard of God's perfection, who is the risen one, Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, I can hear somebody say, well, Bradley, but everybody's entitled to just one mistake. Now, let me ask you the question. Did the Lord ever say you can all have just one mistake? Does the Lord say you can just go ahead and have one free sin that put his son up on the cross? Did the Lord ever say just one free act of treason against his authority, just one free insult to his integrity? He never said that. Nope. He did not. As a matter of fact, scriptural fact, the Bible tells those who have repented to go and sin no more in John 8:11, and that they are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not the other way around. The people say that everybody's entitled to just one mistake. I'm telling you what, friends, that's nonsense. Because what they're doing is they're settling for what is outside of Christ rather than what's in Christ. Do you understand what our forefathers understood? But you see, non-Christians are comfortable with their imperfections, and therefore men judge themselves by themselves, and the Bible says not to do that. Sometimes when I look at myself in the mirror and see how short I have fallen of the standard, I abhor and loathe myself, and I ask the Lord for more grace to keep his commandments better. Why? Because when I look at Jude 1:23, it says, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Again, friends, that's the New Testament. Friends, if we have the heart of the Lord, Romans 5:5, we should hate what the Lord hates and love what he loves. And how could it be otherwise to one who has been born of the Spirit of God? Read John 3:3. Charles Spurgeon was right when he said, if you're a lover of holiness, you will be half sick of man. And George Whitefield said, man left to himself without the grace of God is half devil and half beast. He's exactly right. So do you ever loathe yourself for your offenses towards the Lord? You're falling short of his standard? Because that is a blessing and not a curse, because the Holy Ghost is convicting you and offering you more grace to rise to the level of expectation rather than to commend yourselves by others that are content in their sin. Okay? Why, you ask? It's because the Holy Spirit is working in you again to rise by his grace to the level of his expectation, so that you might be found in his Son and in his Son, Jesus Christ, alone. Again, this is what our forefathers understood, friends. Let's not fall short of it. Because he's given us the standard, he's given us the grace to do it, and this is what we must strive for. And every true Christian that's born of the Spirit of God, I can tell you right now, when they fall short of who they are to be in Christ Jesus, they are convicted until they obtain. Not that we have obtained, but we seek to obtain. Read Philippians 3 when you get a moment. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up during the end of the show here, friends. If you order anything, your orders will go out first thing in the morning. Check it out. Got some new items out there. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Go to the store. Again, your orders will go out first thing in the morning. And I will talk to you in 23 hours. Love you by what we do. 1 John 3:18. See ya.